U.S. Chess Executive Board Open Session Number 1 for Monday, January 20th, 2020, Raleigh, North Carolina. Mr. President.
Welcome back this fine morning. Today is the national holiday recognizing the contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We are spending it here on U.S. chess business, but I think we want to always remember where we have, from whence we have come. And in some cases, you say, don't do stuff again. Don't repeat the mistakes of history. So, as we move forward then, we have on our agenda the consideration of a proposal that has been made to have an event, as I understand it, a one-time event at this point, of something that has been styled the Ultimate Dinker Tournament of Champions event. So who is addressing that issue?
That is me. Okay, at the last meeting we discussed this and the board asked us to contact as many of the past champions as possible to gauge their interest in the event, or potential event. So I penned a letter, sent it around to a few people on the committee. They took a look at it. I sent that then to the office. Jen Pearson then sent emails to as many of the 59 that she had contact information for. Some still were not members, but their email address still worked. A few of the email addresses she either didn't have or didn't work, so she tried to do a snail mail letter to them. And basically what we did is we explained the concept of the event and asked them to gauge their interest in attending such an event. So the results, and then we had them gauge it on a 0 to 5 scale, with 0 being no, I absolutely cannot make it, to 5 being yes, I am going to be there. And we had, out of the 59 recipients, we had approximately here just slightly less than half responded. 25 responded. I forwarded that spreadsheet out to the board. I don't think there's any response from the board on that, but basically there were 9 that said yes, we had a 5, 4 said 4.5. And of course, a few people said either 4 or 5, so I averaged that to 4.5 in my statistics. 9 more said 9, 3.5. With 2 people, so right there you've got 24 people at 3.5 or above, or 41% overall. So I think the board at the last meeting was concerned that it would be a very small tournament, you know, 5-10 players kind of thing. But I think we have fairly reasonable commitments, again, only getting responses from slightly less than half of the overall participants that 20-some would most likely attend.
What was, remind me, what was our financial obligation for this?
Okay, the request was for $5,000 from U.S. Chess. $5,000 has already been provided by Dwayne Barber for this event, and $5,000 has also been promised from the Chess Trust.
And we have a way of determining our participation for different tournaments, and this has never been a tournament, so we haven't done that in terms of the gotta do it, might do it, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So my concern about this is it's like this ad hoc thing that's been tossed out there without really any planning on our part and determination where it would fit within the overall construct of these tournaments that people are always asking us to support. I mean, shoot. U.S. Masters sounded like a heck of an event from what we heard yesterday. We don't support that, do we?
We used to.
But we don't. Right,
and we've been asked to make the winner of that be an automatic entry into the U.S. Open, which
so,
we have not.
So I just have a hard time with, I mean, I know the tournament itself is an important tournament. To me, this is like a tournament. And it's a small group of people, and I'm just not really all that comfortable with not having run it through any of our kind of vetting process in terms of our support for it versus the U.S. Masters or any of a number of other tournaments that we don't provide.
I'm not sure I'd read those survey results as it's likely there'd be 20 people there. You know, you've got, if someone says on sale 1 to 5, you know, my interest is sort of neutral, which is what 3 is, that doesn't mean if they're faced with spending several thousand dollars to travel to an event site, that that's something that they're going to commit to doing.
At 4 and above, there's 22. There's 9 at 5. 4 people said 4 or 5, so I averaged 4.5. And 9 people said 4, and that's 22.
Mike, can you refresh my memory on how the question was asked? Because I think that's important for how you got the response.
Let me see if I can find that. It might take a few minutes.
Well, I was looking for that. I'd like to point out that I actually asked the question when I first heard about this of what the events department would be asked to provide for this, and that $5,000, I could do a lot with $5,000. I'm not entirely sure that it's the highest or best use of it necessarily.
Could add $5,000 to the winner's prize at the U.S. Open, and that's one of the things we've already been talking about. I think the event would be great if they want to do it. I just don't really believe our $5,000 participation is the highest and best use of those resources, and we have not run it through any kind of a budgeting process to determine that.
You won't know till you drill this well what you'll get.
We're not talking about drilling a well. None of these are all players. These are
hold on. I'm talking first.
Yeah.
Then you can talk second. Here you have 67% of the funding done by chess enthusiasts. That's important. Are we going to support our chess enthusiasts?
So we're going to match whatever chess enthusiasts come up.
We're not even matching.
Well, we've already matched.
We're providing 33%.
We've already significantly matched contributions from this same group of people for.
I mean, if you can spend, you meaning collectively, $128,000 on the Olympic, and yet you don't have the type of contributions for it that you have here percentage-wise, I'm questioning whether you want to do
rather,
the chess or not.
That's the Olympiad is rather a different event.
That's not
I don't think that's an apple-and-apple comparison
now,
at all.
I think a better comparison might be the U.S. Masters. And again, or it might be putting the money toward the prizes in the U.S. Open, which is our flagship Open tournament. This is a very small group of players. This isn't something that we have built into any kind of determination as to where it stands. And we wouldn't accept just any contribution where it requires us to match it. And I believe the tournament can go on without our financial participation. We're going to provide them the site, and we're going to provide them the tournament directors and a variety of other things. So we're not just...
Isn't that part of the $5,000? Impossible.
No,
is it all
no.
Cash?
It's a prize fund.
They're wanting to put a prize fund up. Right. Why does this event have to have a prize fund? At all?
Yeah, I'm in that camp. Alan, I'm in that camp with you on that. I think this is more of a... I was once there... Mm-hmm. For you know, just sort of a have fun kind of event, as opposed to
many of
you
these
know win $5,000 or something.
Many of these participants will be titled players,
so
GMs, IMs.
So,
well, they can play in the U.S. Open then if they want.
They probably would.
So, would the counter proposal then be you want to put on this event? We'll provide some type of structure for it, a couple $1,000 at most.
Here,
no price
I've got something for you. Provide structure for the event, let it be happen, and our financial contribution is just like we do for the other participants and the individuals come play in the U.S. Open.
In fact,
we
I thought that's
free.
What it was.
We make it free. You get a free entry into the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm. So when's this?
If they're all titled players, then that would be a real boost to our event, wouldn't it?
Well, GMs are free anyway for the U.S. Open, correct?
But if there are not that many GMs out of the group. There's a bunch of IMs.
Significant number of GMs.
Well,
mean, I do share Randy's concern about matching. We just don't arbitrarily match. But I am always, when people want to put money to, into an event, that much money, whether it's 90% or 70%, that's...
But Chuck, here's the whole thing. We've been through this deal about let's prioritize events, prioritize events.
Right.
Because I can argue in favor of any event you want to argue. So if somebody comes in and wants to put up 10 grand and have us put up three for a red-headed left-handed chess player championship, do we do that?
No, but...
There's more than 20 people in that category.
But I bet if we got up the list of the events that we do, that we built together as to what our support is going to be, I bet there are events that would rise above this one.
This is a one-off. That's another thing to consider. This is a one-time event.
Perhaps a compromise position is to allow the event to happen using the structures that we have in place, but the prize fund gets funded by external sources and maybe reduced from what the original goal was, that U.S. Chess doesn't put prize money into it, but the prize fund is somehow less than what they originally proposed.
What I'm thinking about is the email I'm going to get when players see that there's this prize fund and part of it is advertised as coming from U.S. Chess. And folks write to me and say, the U.S. Open Prize Fund hasn't increased in how long?
Yeah.
And you put $5,000 toward this?
That's my concern.
I'm going to get hammered.
It's just going to put us in the position of having to say no to other tournaments that are going to make the same thing. We've got a $10,000 prize fund that we already have, you know.
But some of these same arguments I'm hearing were seemed to be deja vu from the senior tournament. It only draw 10 people, you know, I didn't even think it would draw 20. We don't know until we actually run the event. Now, we can modify the event, like you're saying, provide structure, and if some donations want to come in for some prize fund, that's great.
And I understand that this is a one-time event. This isn't a long-term commitment.
Yeah.
So, having a modest prize fund, you know, maybe okay.
And I think the senior is a great, I mean, that's serving a large constituency that I think is important for us. This is a small constituency. I don't see them as being in the same sort of...
No, but we had some similar arguments so that it wouldn't draw...
I don't remember those. Maybe I wasn't on the board with that.
Well, they weren't serious. I mean,
well, one of the concerns we had was our withdrawal, but we thought we'd try it, because the other part that happens with the senior is encouraging state affiliates to have a qualifying event for it.
Absolutely.
And expanding the senior play throughout the country. I don't think we have a qualifying tournament for this event every year. It's called the Dinker. And so there'll be one new person who would qualify for this event every year. And I don't think there's any plans, the way I read them, for this to be an annual event. And it's not going to be an outreach event much. You know, the people who we couldn't contact because we couldn't find them, who are no longer members, probably aren't coming back to do it.
Okay.
The people who never responded, you know, maybe if we sent them something and said this is happening, they'd show up. Probably not. Some of those who said they were likely to come, when it finally gets scheduled, they won't, because that always happens. You know, and some of them who said most of them said they absolutely would not come, probably won't, because they already know they're not interested. But, you know, someone who's lukewarm, if it's close by, they might show up. You know, if I got to drive an hour, I might go. If I got to come from California, I might not.
I think that's a great point that it doesn't. The seniors, obviously, when it had room for expanding, and we have quite a few seniors compared to how many Danker members we have.
Let me also point out that the seniors event actually dovetailed very nicely with an increased focus on serving a wider part of our population.
Sure. That's
there was nothing to service them in terms of our invitations prior to that event, which is a strong argument for including them.
But none of us, including myself, didn't realize the potential. here, you had so, when I look at what, 20, 25 people responded from a mailing, mailing's what, 5% most of the time?
But this,
there's some interest.
But this is not a random, I mean.
I get it. You know,
it's a sort of self-selecting. I mean, the group that was going to have some interest. I'm not arguing that it shouldn't happen.
I'm not arguing it shouldn't happen either.
The way I leaned in the email discussion was, I'd rather see it happen without me having to produce $5,000 for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. I don't think any of us is opposed to it.
And where would it be held?
You can be held at the USO. I can get it.
Leveraging.
I have the space to hold it. That's not a problem. We have 12 networks. I would just run it parallel to the invitations or something.
And
would be no problem.
And irrespective of the fact that some of these participants may already qualify for free entry fee into the U.S. Open, I got no problem with expanding the free entry fee to all of the participants in this event. That can be our financial contribution to it.
Aren't we normally at half for the rest of the invitational?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Why wouldn't you follow that model?
Because this is a bigger contribution to this event, and it's a one-off.
All right. One time.
I mean, and I'm okay with doing half, and I'm okay with doing none. If you want to make a contribution to the event, that's an idea I throw out there. In addition to us providing a space for it, us providing tournament direction, us providing tournament administration.
Yeah, which indirectly is 5,000.
I'm sorry, providing all the infrastructure to the event.
It seems logical to offer the same conditions you can offer to other invitational participants.
It's easier for advertising.
I'm okay with that, if you want to do that.
Well, there's no real advertising for this.
Well, I mean, anything you write up to send out, it's consistent, and it doesn't cause confusion. Because whenever you have differing things that are similar, he's going to get a bunch of emails.
I'm good.
You may also have a situation where you have current. That if that condition influenced, say, a Praveen Balakrishnan, I don't know if he's still eligible, but say the most recent one or two Denker winners, if they're still eligible for the Denker, it could influence their decision on which to participate in.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is not
that's true.
What we want.
Do you go to the seniors or do you go to this tournament?
That could be.
Could be. So.
Yeah, one of the ones that said that he's definitely interested are actually the first two winners. Said they were definitely interested in coming.
The first two, you mean which
the most recent two winners.
The two most recent?
No, the oldest.
The two oldest.
Fishbein.
Yeah, he goes to U.S. Open usually.
Fishbein would be there anyway.
No, Fishbein has only started coming because his son has been to
right.
Deck around.
But still.
But Fishbein goes to a lot of tournaments, not just national
events.
Yeah. So. Do we have some consensus then that we do not, we are not willing to throw in, commit $5,000 to a prize fund, but we're more than happy to assist the event in happening, we'll provide the tournament infrastructure, and we'll provide the same conditions to the participants in this that we would provide, that we do provide, to the other invitational events for the purposes of U.S. Open.
And how about the entry?
That's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
U.S. Open entry.
I will note that in order to do this, we would have to either redistribute our current DGT broadcast capability or add more. Because right now, the way the invitationals work, they're distributed. The boards are distributed equally among the invitationals, three each. That would have to change this year anyway, but it's worth discussing that this is one of the hidden costs of adding an event in general, whether it's one time or long term. We're probably going to have to add more boards.
Which is probably something you got the K5 coming in, too.
Right.
That's what he's calling it.
That's what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Not to mention these other events that are sitting out there.
Why would we use DGT boards for this one-off event?
Because if the time I add to the prestige of the event, I certainly want the top boards of the broadcast. Why wouldn't I?
This is a one-off.
That's right.
It's going to be jammed.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
I mean, I think we want this broadcast. We're going to broadcast the Barber, the Rockefeller. We can certainly broadcast this.
This is a random, but it's related. There is a program with V-Day but I don't know if we qualify for it, for federations to get DGD equipment less expensively.
We did that when we got our...
Yeah, I get it. I don't know if we, I don't know if that's...
It should still exist, because that's DGT that offers a discount.
Yeah, okay.
In mechanics?
I thought it was, I just...
Is our office then, would be the contact point instead of John in this? What's the proposal?
Yeah, all the entries would come through us.
Because he's already fairly overwhelmed.
Well, and actually, all of it's coming to the office anyway.
It's changing, okay, we have a...
All the invitation entries are coming to the office anyway.
I found the letter, did you want me to read something from the letter?
I just wanted to understand how the question was asked that gave us the number, numerical response.
Please reply to this email to Jen Pearson at email address by January 1 if you're interested in participating. Please indicate your level of confidence and participation in the event. In the email back to Jennifer using a 0 to 5 scale, with 0 being absolutely not interested, to 5 being count me in, I'll be there.
Was there any mention of there wouldn't be any subsidizing of like travel expenses?
There was no guarantees to that, no.
I know there were no guarantees, I'm just curious.
No, I didn't think about adding anything like that.
Okay. I don't know that it would necessarily affect their choices, especially someone like Fish Baiting is not going to miss the money for traveling. That's not a problem.
So if you were coming anyway, it's irrelevant.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you have somebody...
Well, Chess is not how to make this money.
Well, I'm just saying that if you're coming anyway, regardless of that, if you're coming anyway, what difference does it make?
Actually, I put in there is no entry fee, and participants will be allowed to enter the 6-day or 4-day option of the U.S. Open for half of the advanced entry fee. GMs are free.
That's fair enough.
That's all true.
Well, then we better let that happen. Okay, so... Do we have a motion then that we, I think we need to put a motion there that we vote on. I'm looking at you,
yeah,
Mr. Secretary. You want to work on that and we'll come back to it?
Please.
Good deal. Let's go to the match rules review issue. Is that...
I have just one point of
yes.
The information that I'd like to share relative to gearing up for the summer activities in this committee section. It's my understanding that the date to get committee reports in for the delegates call is May 4th this year. So I think the committee liaisons probably need to be thinking about reaching out around March 1 to give committees enough time to meet and pull their reports together. So May 4 is the deadline for reporting into the delegates call.
And which ones get which ones are going to get published in a delegates call?
The ones that we get.
Pretty much.
Right.
So.
And then the ones that we don't get or that can't happen end up getting done, handed out at the meeting. And some of those are really hard to do. I mean, you know, for example, bylaws can't do much of a report because most of their work's going to fall after stuff comes through. So that's one that's hard to do early.
And on that front, we've asked the last couple of years the office to send out motions as they come in to the committees that maybe need to review them. Give them additional time to do that.
Well, it's the same way with the investment committees and that. We have to go to the quarter.
Right. Yeah, that's a difficult one to do early. A lot of stuff happens. Okay. Match rules review. We have had several instances that have resulted in ethics complaints related to manipulation of ratings using the match rules. Some of those appear to have had misapplications of the match rules, but the common pattern becomes a player having extensive numbers of games may be broken up into multiple matches against the same or a very small pool of opponents. Sometimes the opponent is somebody with a rating floor. Sometimes it has been not. And that, with results that were overwhelmingly in favor of the higher rated participant and served to plump up a rating, to achieve a title, essentially. And I think it could work in reverse too. If you want to sandbag, hold a match with somebody, and you know, you lose 40 games in a row. And so we have rules today that I'm not sure we're. In one of the ethics cases, we had a respondent who basically said, hey, you all made the rule, and it may be something you can exploit, but I'm just exploiting a chink in the rule. And so maybe we need to change the rule. So we put this on here. I think Mike and I put this on here, right, Mr. Hoffbauer? Mm-hmm. So can I kick this over to you and let you lead that discussion?
I'm not prepared to talk about it at all.
All right.
Well, since I kind of was one of the people that was not as familiar with the regulations, and I think there may be some players that are in the same category. I mean, one of the things that would make sense would be, you know, opposed to just blanket, we're not going to raid any matches, would be limiting the number of games that any player in a 12-month period
right.
could participate in a match. I mean, that's one way to
right.
kind of at least put some guardrails on this. You know, it could be 10 games, whatever you want to pick. So I just toss that out as something that, to me at least, is a concept that we could explore.
I'd like to offer a little historical background, if I may.
I would love for you to do that, Mr.
Please do.
What you find in the rule book on like match regulations and such, all of those rules were introduced during a time when there was a ladies manager and or a technical director. So there was someone who could manually check these sorts of things. Part of the streamlining of our personnel, which of course predates pretty much everyone sitting here, was that we no longer have someone who's able to manually check all of this. One of the things I've discussed with the coming, as part of our phase two of IT work, is probably building in business logic to our rating system, to our rating server, that will automatically check for a number of match games played by a player in the course of a whatever period. And it could send out a warning email if somebody starts to approach that limit. It doesn't matter what the limit is, it's just, it'll be a matter of building the difference. I'm getting at that right now, there's no automated enforcement of the match regulations, be it rating difference between two players, whatever. Something we have to know is manually, and we don't have an employee dedicated to that sort of stuff now.
Couldn't that be a requirement of the TD, whoever certifies it?
Currently,
all you have to do
it's currently a requirement.
Okay, but I mean, that's if we make a restriction and say no more than they can go into our website and determine whether or not that player is participating.
They can do that now.
I know, but I'm saying if we make that something that the TD has to enforce. There is a way for
the
them.
TD already signs for the event.
But we don't have a restriction that they can only play X number.
But I'm saying, though, the current restrictions aren't even being followed. Like, one of the issues you're having is that every time, for example, the current restriction is that every time a floored player plays a match, that it should be treated as a request to lower the player's floor.
Right.
TDs aren't even checking to see whether a player is floored.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine, but even if we're going to have to have our TDs doing it. So the fact that they're not doing it now, for one thing, I think that's maybe a little bit more esoteric than if we say thou shalt not play more than 10 rated match games in a year, and TDs are informed of that.
Well,
it seems to me that's more it's more of a bright line.
our current match rules are, that's one of them, that if you have a four-player participant, it is treated as a request for a reduction of floor. So a recent case that we had, that involved a floored player who was involved in a series of matches against a variety of people. And then that wasn't treated as a request. The floor was not reduced. And so he stayed at his floor and kept playing matches, which, and the results were overwhelmingly in the favor of the opponents. So the opponents picked up rating points because this guy was floored. Of course, that also is an argument about removing floors, but floors also serve to prevent sandbagging. So there's a twofold piece there. The other match rules are, help refresh my memory, boy. The rating differential.
Yeah, you can't, Rangers can't exceed 400 points.
Maybe that's too broad.
I think that is too broad, because the chances of somebody who are rated 300 points, when there's a 300 point difference, the chances of a victory is so slim, so 400, it just, you know.
So the complication with the match rules, right, is our, those are part of the rules of chess, yes.
Yep.
Well, I think that if
actually, the rating of them is not. Rating is not. Ratings are bailiwick.
So I think if we're going to try and get something that is enforced, it should be simple. And I think just a game restriction in a year's time is a simple way of minimizing the risks associated with, you know, matches that are.
I tend to agree that simple is better.
But, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, my only concern is that matches in some parts of the country are the only way that some players get to play rated games, period. I would hope we would consider that when, I hope the board would consider that when deciding on a number.
Yeah, okay.
A number of matches. I'm not saying it needs to be a really high number. But I am saying that I've become more exposed to the idea that in a lot of parts of the country there aren't enough players to put something, not a lot, but there are definitely parts of the country where, you know, putting together a quad involves players traveling multiple hours from all directions to get together.
So make it 20.
Okay. I mean, well, I'm just saying, consider that when putting a number together.
I get it. To me, that's like, you know, four or five tournaments. 20 games is the equivalent of, you know, four-round tournaments, or 6.6 quads, and that seems to me to be a reasonable accommodation.
And the other issue there, then, is when people, if you ask a director to enforce that, the director's going to have, what's going to happen is people are going to look to see, the odds of people actually looking to see if someone has played X number of games coded as a match.
That's going to be hard. Here's what the rule book currently says. Play up to 32 games, okay?
There's a limit right now?
Yeah.
32 games?
It says it can be as long as 32 games. This is
A match can be as long as 32 games.
But there's no limit on the number of matches.
Right.
Must have established and published ratings, obviously.
32 games.
A player may only have a cumulative gain or cumulative loss of up to 100 rating points through match play during any 180-day period. I think we need to, my recommendation is we need to kick this over to the rules committee and give them some parameters and tell them to come up with some revisions to the rules because of the problems that we're seeing with people abusing the match play system.
Yeah, because 100
points. And we probably ought to also have the TDCC look into it also, because and tell them to figure out how are you going to communicate to directors that the directors have to be more responsible when scheduling match play to ensure that they're adhering to the to what the rule book says.
Because right now you could gain 200 points in a year. And that's...
Yeah.
You can gain more than that.
Well, if 160 days, 100 points.
180 days.
So you can gain, may have a cumulative gain or loss of up to 200 points through any match play during any three-year period.
However, there are even issues surrounding that. Part of the reason why some of the cases have occurred is because events aren't coded correctly.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So if I really have a match, but I code it as a Swiss.
Or round robin or whatever.
Right. You know, I mean, we put four of us together and we call it a round. Is it a match if there's three of us in it and we play each other 15 times? And we treat it as a 15 round round robin. Is that a match? I'd argue it pretty close to is. You know what? I mean, but if we say, okay, Randy, we'll play 15 times, you're going to play Ryan 15 times, and I'm going to play Ryan 15 times, and we're going to submit it as a 15-round round robin.
We'll play draws.
You see what I'm saying? And then I'll gain, like, thousands of rating points here.
No, you won't.
Because you guys will just throw them. That is exactly has been happening. We've had people who've been playing some events, and I think without much TV oversight, in one of the cases, it was just say the guy was like, "Hey, this is the guy at the club, and he just plays, and they're playing gobs of games because he's there ready to play."
So I'm with Mike. Let's throw it over to somebody else.
I don't think we can hammer out the issue here. I think we are in agreement that we got something that
we have
need
to do something.
To,
yeah.
I'll draft up some guidance to the rules committee. When do we want to hear back from them? By the next committee? We want to hear back from them by the
tomorrow.
Next committee.
By May. Yeah.
As to what they would propose to change and how would they see it as an ADM for the...
And I would argue, I don't care, this, the rating of these events is not a rule. We control the rating system. We say what we're going to rate and not rate.
Yes.
Now, should it be an ADM and all that stuff? Probably.
Yeah.
But if we came out tomorrow and said we're not going to rate, boom, we got the power to do that. Whatever that is. I'm not saying it's a great idea, but and I think I would want to have a broader consensus on this and having those committees and formulating some of that to an ADM, I think would be the right way to do it. But, you know, certainly the issue of enforcing what we have now with tournament directors, we have some tournament directors who evidently have not done a very thorough job of doing that. And then we have an issue where in our own infrastructure in the office, we've not done a very thorough job of, because we don't have the infrastructure to do it, to catch things like this is a request to lower my floor.
I mean, we can't query the current database and just say, okay, give me a printout of all match play and...
We can't.
Yeah.
Can or can't? We can't.
We can't.
Mike can't.
Mike can if it's defined properly, and if it's coded properly, and now when the conversion happens, we got a better shot at doing that. So some of the on our side, some of the infrastructure pieces are sort of coming.
The business logic to be able to do something to automate some of the checking will be easier to implement going forward than it is currently. Right now, it's just not. We really rely a great deal on that TD responsibility signature at the end of a rating submission. We rely on directors to check these things before they submit them. And maybe that's part of the larger piece on TD training that has been discussed at board level from time to time.
But in defense of some tournament directors, if all I can do is look and see, I'm going to look at MSA to see if he had a match. It may not jump out at you very well.
That's right.
You know, if you're, what are you, relying on the event name? Well, might not be in the name, you know.
You have to do some digging to manually enforce some of these restrictions. And especially what happens with some TDs, I mean, still somewhat derelict, but I can understand it. Sometimes some of the shenanigans that happen occur because TDs get approached while they're doing one or two other things, maybe even at an event. Hey, we played a six-game match or whatever.
Yeah, can you rate it for us?
Can you rate it for us? Looks at the guy, looks at the two people, and says, okay, that's fine.
You didn't know they had already played 50 games. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or that they may not have played it at all.
I mean, normally I would assume if I were approached with something like that and I saw a result of 19-1, 20-0, I would probably go. I'd probably ask a whole lot of questions before I submitted it. And that's where I think true dereliction comes in from when the result stinks. And you know, it's just not feasible to happen under normal circumstances, and you still rate it, then the TD should bear some responsibility for that, in my opinion.
So our friends from Square appear to be online, so.
Okay, so what we have, before we go there, what we have is, Mike, we'll get referred over to Rules and TDCC and ask for some input back with the idea that we'll bring this back up in May, Mr. Secretary. We'll need to put it on the agenda for May.
Got an order.
And then if we need to propose something to send to the delegates, we can do that in May. Now, we have a motion still to deal with. Let's go ahead and do that.
All right, so I've penned this up real quickly here. The executive board endorses the idea of an ultimate Decker Tournament of Champions event at the 2020 U.S. Open. U.S. Chess's contribution to the event will be to provide the infrastructure to host the event and to provide a 50% discount for the entry fee to the U.S. Open's 4 or 6 day season. And then in parentheses, I have note that Grandmasters still have a complimentary U.S. Open entry fee.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, so we are going to go into recess for a little bit because we are getting a demo of the progress on our IT project. And after we complete that demo, we will come back into session. Thank you very much. Let's turn off the recordings at this point.